This month marks 46 years since the U.S. Supreme Court legalized abortion through the landmark case Roe v. Wade. Now, just about 2 years into his presidency, Donald Trump has appointed two Supreme Court judges and a number of conservative appellate judges, raising concerns among abortion rights activists about the future of the law. There are currently more than a dozen abortion cases before federal appeals courts.
The reality is that since the Trump-Pence administration took office, there's been a constant onslaught from the federal level against reproductive rights.
Andrea Miller is the president of the National Institute for Reproductive Health, and she says these restrictions to abortion aren't new.
We have had a record number of states that over, frankly, the last 4.5 decades have been passing law after law after law against abortion. In fact, your listeners might be shocked to know that since 1973, there have been more than 1,100 laws specifically against abortion passed at the state level. So you have a record number of states now, and they sort of exacerbated that over the last couple of years, that make it more and more difficult, if not impossible, for many women to access abortion, much less feel that they have the right any longer. And that clearly is very troubling, especially given that we have an increasingly hostile federal judiciary that just in the last past 2 years, including at the Supreme Court level, the Trump-Pence administration has had the opportunity to try to pack the courts against reproductive freedom. But I don't want people to feel completely disheartened, because 2018 was remarkable in two other important ways. The first is that we saw a record number of proactive laws, 100 proactive laws that were enacted at the state level to protect and expand reproductive rights and access to reproductive health care, including abortion. And the midterm elections were really, I believe, a turning point. We saw a record number of candidates who ran and won on advancing reproductive freedom, including a very bold and proactive stance on abortion access. And voters made this a priority in race after race after race. So we've had a lot of decline in the last couple of years, and yet there is tremendous momentum building across the country, and that is really where I think the future lies.
Let's talk a little bit about which states have actually restricted access to abortion and what those abortion restrictions look like.
So over the last 4.5 decades, the attacks against abortion access have come from every corner, and now we have about half the states, if not more, considered hostile to reproductive freedom. And what that means is that they have multiple restrictions on the books. So if you look in states like Arkansas or South Dakota or North Dakota, if you are a woman seeking an abortion there, you probably have to delay. You have to get state-scripted information. You may have to come back to a clinic 2, if not 3 times. You may be in a state that has only one clinic, which means traveling hundreds of miles, finding childcare, or being able to leave your job for a day or multiple days. You need to have transportation. Your insurance, whether you have private insurance, government-sponsored insurance, whether you are low-income and eligible for Medicaid, your insurance will not cover it. And if you are young, you probably have to involve your parents regardless of whether that is going to be safe and okay for you. So there's a huge disparate impact, as you can imagine, on those who are most marginalized and with least access to care, women of color, low-income women, young women, women living in rural areas. And most recently, we're seeing our sort of usual cast of characters of states, your Louisianas, your Mississippis, your Kentuckys, passing more and more restrictive laws, in fact, trying to ban abortion outright earlier and earlier in pregnancy. And they're being, unfortunately, in the last couple of years, joined by some relative newcomers like the Iowas and Ohios of the world. Again, what they are trying to do, just to be clear, is that they are trying to attack at the fundamental level not only the right and legality as well as the accessibility of abortion for anyone within their borders, but they really all have the same goal of hopefully creating a scenario where an increasingly hostile Supreme Court will have a new vehicle through lawsuits that will come their way to further eviscerate, if not outright overturn, Roe versus Wade. And so their goal is twofold, which is to deny those in their own states access and the ability to exercise their rights, and ultimately to try to eliminate that right at the federal level across the country.
You mentioned Ohio, and I'm wondering, which states are you looking at? There's a bunch of abortion cases out in different courts in different states right now. are there any cases that you say we should be paying very close attention to that could potentially signal which way this fight is going to go?
So I try not to make predictions on this, but I will say the ones to watch are the ones that really do try to ban abortion earlier and earlier, whether that's through bans on particular methods of abortion and therefore putting the government in the position of determining rather than healthcare providers what is going to be the kind of care that can be provided, or trying to do so earlier and earlier in pregnancy. Those are the ones that really strike at the heart of Roe versus Wade, because what they do is that they say that a state can interfere, the government can interfere and prohibit a woman from getting abortions at any point. So I think any of these cases could present the opportunity, but it's hard to say which one will ultimately be the one that will create the conditions for an even further eroded Roe.
Roe v. Wade has been around for 46 years. Is there something unique that you see in this moment right now?
What I think is unique in this moment is that we have such a clear indication of how much harm and how much damage is being done by these restrictive laws. I believe that one of the reasons we are seeing such hostile legislation being passed and such a rush to pack the federal judiciary to try to eliminate reproductive freedom is that I believe that those who would like to and who've made it their mission to ultimately eliminate the ability of women to make their own decisions for what's best for their bodies, for their lives, for their futures, for their families, that they are realizing that time is not on their side. History is not on their side. The fact is that we have more support for Roe versus Wade, more support for not just legal abortion, but for accessible, affordable, available in your community that includes abortion than at any other time in the history of this country, including at any other time since Roe versus Wade.
Andrea Miller is the president of the National Institute for Reproductive Health. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much.